Well, good morning. Quite a week. I don't know what it is about. You get to Thanksgiving and you want to say, be grateful, and you want to say thank you. And it always is a struggle because of the challenges the holidays bring. And, you know, whether it's you're getting busy and you're starting to work hard to get ready for the holidays, or whether it's somebody else who's struggling with the holidays, or it's just an inadvertent accident, or someone who's reaching the end of life and going on to glory. There's just so many challenges to being grateful. And yet we know that God cares for us in all those situations, and that this church community travels with us. We never travel alone. Gesundheit. The Old Testament reading for today comes from old cranky Jeremiah again. This is Jeremiah 23, 1 through 6. How terrible it will be for the shepherds who lead my people astray, announces the Lord. They are destroying and scattering the sheep that belong to my flock. So the Lord, the God of Israel, speaks to the shepherds who take care of my people, and he tells them, you have scattered my sheep. You have driven them away. You have not taken good care of them. So I will punish you for the evil things you have done. I myself will gather them together, those who are left alive in my flock, and I will gather them out of all the countries where you have driven them, and I will bring them back to their own land. And there my sheep will have many lambs. There will be many more of them. I'll place shepherds over them who will take good care of them. My sheep will not be afraid or terrified anymore, and none of them will be missing, announces the Lord. A new day is coming, and at that time I will raise up for David's royal line a godly branch, and he will be a king who will rule wisely. He will do what is fair and right in the land, and in his days Judah will be saved. Israel will live in safety, and the branch will be called the Lord who makes us right with himself. Let us bless the words of the prophet to our hearts and to our minds. Let us pray. Lord, here we stand. Here we are together again on this chilly Sunday morning, gathered to worship together, to share our voices in song and in prayer and in talk, and in caring for those who are part of this community of faith. We thank you, Yahweh, for this opportunity to be together, to strengthen our resolve to be the best images of Jesus on this earth that we can be. Amen. Well, the prophet Jeremiah asks us to consider what is not, and then consider what is. The prophet shares that the shepherds of Israel scattered the sheep. They didn't keep them safe. They didn't keep them together. He's talking about the leaders of Israel. They're not doing their best job providing for and protecting the people that they lead. And then in verse 3, we hear how God will do this. God will gather the sheep, bring them together, and raise up shepherds who will care for them. As we worship this morning on this last Sunday before Advent, we look back at this year. And we see so many things that have happened in this past year. And next Sunday, we will transition into the new Christian year. But in the past year, there have been births and deaths and marriages and divorces and engagements and graduations and birthdays and anniversaries and good meals and bad meals and new pets and putting pets to sleep, laughter with our friends, new adventures and journeys, new friends, beautiful sunrises and sunsets, bounty from our gardens, challenges of unexpected heat and dry weather. So many things have happened to us in the past 11 months since we last celebrated the birth of Jesus. So much to be thankful for. Thankful for the images that God has shown us. Thankful for God bringing Jesus to us. Thankful for the Holy Spirit that journeys with us. Thankful for a God who loves us unconditional. full of gratitude. Thank you, Heavenly Provider. Dawn started Colossians where she was asked to, kind of in the middle. Let me share the beginning, because the letters of the New Testament that were either written by Paul or one of Paul's understudies, I'm sure you've heard me say it before, are kind of fascinating. Paul always starts out, he just loves you to pieces. He just says, oh, you're wonderful. And yet, how much he's impressed by what you're doing and how much he loves you. And then, bam, Paul always tells you what you're not doing and how to do it better. It's kind of a, like when you hear Paul start this way, you should probably start running. I, Paul, am writing this letter. I am an apostle of Christ Jesus, just as God planned. Our brother Timothy joins me in this writing. We are sending this letter to you, our brothers and sisters in Colossae. You belong to Christ. You are holy and faithful. May God our Father give you grace and peace. We always thank you, God, for the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. When we pray to you, we thank him because we have heard about your faith in Christ Jesus. We have also heard that you love all of God's people. Your faith and love are based on the hope you have. What you hope for is stored up for you in heaven. You have already heard about it. You were told about it when the true message was given to you. I'm talking about the good news that has come to you. In the same way, the good news is bearing fruit. It is bearing fruit and growing all over the world. It has been doing that among you since the day you heard it. That's when you really understood God's grace. You learned the good news. And that's why we've never stopped praying for you. We've been praying for you since the day we heard about you. We keep asking God to fill you with the knowledge of what he wants. We pray that he will give you the wisdom and understand that what the Spirit gives, and then you will be able to lead a life worthy of the Lord. We pray that you will please him in every way. So we want you to bear fruit in every good thing you do, and we pray that you will grow to know God better. And we want you to be very strong in keeping with his glorious power. And we want you to be patient. And we pray that you will never give up. We want you to give thanks with joy to God, who has made you fit to have what God will give to all God's holy people. You all receive a share in the kingdom of light. God has saved us from the kingdom of darkness. God has brought us into the kingdom of the Son that is loved. Because of what the Son has done, we have been set free and our sins have been forgiven. Thank you, God. Thank you to the Apostle Paul and his underlings who wrote so many wonderful letters. Thank you to the citizens of Colossae who also continued on with the teachings. Thank you for 2,000 plus years of Christian tradition handed down so this church can continue that work. That work that Paul mentions in 1 Corinthians 13. Now faith, love, and hope abide. I think we just heard that in the reading in Colossians. We thank him because we have heard about your faith in Christ Jesus. We have also heard that you love all of God's people. Your faith and love are based on the hope you have. Faith, love, and hope abide. Professor Ryan Schellenberg writes this, in recollecting the history of the Colossian Christ group, this letter writes them into the history books, creating a story of transformation for this tiny cluster of Christ followers, because they learned the good news of Jesus Christ. This cluster probably looked kind of pathetic. They had no temple. They had no priests. Not even a proper meeting place. Just a ragtag group of misfits caught up in some Jewish superstition about the Messiah that they had learned secondhand. But from this letter, they are invited, just as we are, to imagine their place in the world quite differently. They're the local vanguards for a movement that is so cosmic in scope. It's not just that the gospel is bearing fruit in the whole world. No, it's bearing fruit in the whole universe. God's entire created order. Cosmos, it's called. The whole cosmos is being remade in the gospel of Christ. And guess what? Guess what this letter writer is telling the Colossians? Guess what, Colossians? Guess what, Broadway Christian? You're in on the secret. You know a secret that a lot of other people who don't belong to that ragtag group of people with no temple and no priests don't know. And after recollecting their past, the writer continues on in a very long sentence that Dawn read, expressing a prayer for their future. Verses 9 through 14 are one big long sentence, and they begin with a reference to a full spiritual knowledge, and they end on a note of thanksgiving. We've all felt the difference between knowing something and really knowing something. It's one thing to be able to parrot facts, to say, oh, the climate is changing. But it's something else entirely for us to have felt the truth of it, to have watched with our own eyes as forests burned or floodwaters rose. It's something else entirely to comprehend the truth as an aspect of our own lives. We talk about the love of God or the love of a congregation. And on any given average Sunday, you go, okay, yep, so it is. But on that Sunday when life has beaten you badly, and you come and you are welcomed, and you realize that you're not journeying alone, that love takes on a real manifestation. That hope, that faith is real and a part of your experience. That's what the writer of Colossians is getting at. References knowledge and wisdom and understanding. It's one thing to theoretically know that we have been transferred from the power of darkness into Christ's kingdom of life. But it's another thing to truly feel it and comprehend it. It's one thing to know there's a church on the corner. That's your theoretical knowledge. It's another thing to join in worship at the church and grow in the love and faith and hope of that congregation, to feel a part of it. It is only in that deeper comprehension, what the writer of Colossians called spiritual wisdom and understanding, begins to bear fruit and transform your life. So the writer's prayer is that the Colossian believers will see beyond appearances to the full Christ-shaped truth of things. And then with that truth of reality unveiled, confident in their own place in it, the writer's hope is that the believers will be remade in the image of Christ, living in a joyful thanksgiving. Comes kind of in connection with prayer, and I'm not sure that that's a big surprise. For if prayer and thanksgiving converge as they do in this passage, it's because the writer's prayer is that the believers will live into this reality that they have been gifted. So here is the request. With your imaginations transformed by the word of truth, come and fully inhabit the calling as Christ's holy and faithful ones. We pray that you will grow to know God better. The writer writes, we want you to be very strong in the keeping with the glorious power. We want you to be patient. We pray that you will never give up. We want you to give thanks with joy to God, who has made you fit to have what God will give to all God's holy people. You will receive a share in the kingdom of light. God has saved us from the kingdom of darkness. God has brought us into the kingdom of the Son that He loved. Because of what the Son has done, we have been set free. And because of Him, all of our sins have been forgiven. Hard to believe that writer wrote that somewhere around 70 CE, and it still holds as truth. Might your faith, your hope, and your love speed you along on the journey that God has for you. Thankful for every day of sunlight that we get to be like Jesus Christ. Amen.